The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, conductor of this occult omnibus, which stops at your station 7 times each week. It is said of some people that they live in the past, but of course we know this isn't true. Nobody can actually, genuinely, physically live in the past. Yes, it's possible to spend one's life in reverie, in daydream, but live in the past? That's incredible. You can only live in the present. And the present is a vehicle that can only travel in one direction, forward, into the future. At least, that's what we've been led to believe.
You wouldn't want to be 19 again?
No, I wouldn't want to be 19 again.
It's better to be 55?
In some ways, it is.
You wouldn't want to be 19? You wouldn't want to be back there?
Back where?
Listen.
Bill, please, grow up.
I have grown up, and I don't like it.
Like it or not, you've got to live with it.
That's where you're wrong. I don't have to live with it. You don't have to live with it either. Come back with me.
Back where?
We can be 19 again.
You're crazy.
There's a key. I found the key.
Bill, please.
Zelda, I've got the key. I know how to go back. Come back, Zelda. Come back with me.
Our mystery drama, Come Back With Me, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Howard Da Silva. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Ahmed is rattling his pan, begging for food. If he doesn't get it, he's going to die. Ahmed lives in Pakistan, and he's only 11 years old. He needs our help. George W. is an alcoholic. He wishes he weren't, but it's a disease, and he wants to get rid of it so he can once again support his family and bring dignity back into his life. Most of us are much better off. We have enough food to eat, and we have good health. When worshiping God, we express our thanks, but God wants more from us than thanks. We must do something for those of us not so well off. This year, while celebrating America's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans to help relieve suffering. You'll end up helping yourself as well. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Ad Council, and this station.
The city is a living organism. And because every living thing must one day die, the city must die too. Like the human beings who build it, the city has its periods of youth, maturity, and old age. The city dies by degrees. A house here, a street there, block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, the boarded up, shuttered buildings stand empty, decayed, deserted, dead. But that part of the city which still lives continues to go through the motions. It sends water through the mains, electric current to illuminate the streetlights, and police cruisers on their slow patrols. Tonight, Officer Tom Bergen suddenly stiffens to attention behind the wheel of his car and loosens the strap of his holster. Just up ahead, a man is walking slowly along the sidewalk. And anyone out here this time of the night had better be questioned.
Are you okay, sir?
Something wrong, officer?
I know, sir.
Well, then why do you stop me?
I didn't stop you.
I'm walking along the street, minding my own affairs, and you accost me as if I were a common criminal.
No, I ought to ask you if something was wrong.
Why should something be wrong?
Well, sir,
Is this some sort of search and seizure? Or stop and frisk, as you might call it?
Now, look, sir, you see a person out alone at night in this neighborhood...
But what's wrong with this neighborhood?
What's wrong with this neighborhood?
Is there a better neighborhood in the entire city, in the whole world? You are insulting my neighborhood.
Now, look, sir, I assure you...
You assure me of nothing. You imply that this neighborhood is a hotbed of vice, of crime, eh?
I didn't say that.
That was a nasty insinuation in your voice.
Well, I only wanted to make sure
There's an insult, and it's a fighting insult.
Now, look, you're just getting excited over nothing.
This is my neighborhood, and I'll fight for it. How can man die better than by facing fearful odds for the ashes of his fathers and the temples of his gods? Well, how can he?
I don't believe he can.
Macaulay wrote that. Thomas Babington Macaulay. And when I was a kid, that's what we were taught in high school. They don't teach Horatius at the bridge anymore. You know that, don't you?
Well, yeah, I guess they don't.
You know why, don't you? Because it's not relevant. You hear that? It's not relevant. That's a great new word today. Relevant.
Yes, sir. Look, how would you like to...
Honor, duty, respect, these things, they just aren't relevant anymore.
Why don't you get in, mister, and I'll give you a lift home?
And I'm not relevant anymore, either.
Now, look, it's very late, and you look to be a little unsteady on your feet.
Tell me, officer, look me straight in the eye and tell me, what is relevant today?
Like I said, it's very late.
No, it's early. It's very early. The crowd is first starting to get together at Morrissey's.
Morrissey's?
Jack Morrissey's. You mean you're the cop on this beat and you've never heard of Jack Morrissey's? Everybody from the neighborhood goes there.
Oh, sure. There used to be a Jack Morrissey's saloon, but you're going back 30, 35 years.
It's here now. Right here.
Look, mister, any minute now it's going to start to rain, so don't you think you'd better...
It's okay, officer. I'll just go into Morrissey's. See you later.
Sir, you can't go anywhere. That's an old, condemned, boarded-up building.
You're a pretty good guy for a cop. Come on in. Let me buy you a beer.
Well, where are you going?
Where do you think I'm going? Inside, into Morrissey's.
But there's no such place.
Are you sure you're okay, officer? The joint's jumping. Can't you hear? Can't you hear the music?
No, sir. I don't hear a thing.
Listen. Don't you hear that? On the jukebox.
The jukebox?
Don't you know what a jukebox is?
Yes, sure, Bob.
I got this stuffy old prof, Doc Carberry. And one night, the gang of us invite him down here, you know, to see how the people live.
It's starting to rain.
You can hear this jukebox in Morrissey's. You hear how loud it is?
But I don't hear nothing.
Can you believe that old Doc had never seen one before? What's that, he asks. It's a jukebox, I answer. Oh, he says, probably named after a member of the Jukes family. You don't get it, huh? Well, in psychology, you study this very retarded family named Jukes.
Look, the rain's beginning to come down very hard.
It's a classical clinical study.
There's nothing there.
Hey, take your hand off me. I said I'm going to enter Morrissey.
You can't go in there. The building is condemned. You see what the sign said?
I said, take your hand off me.
Yeah, but... You know, look here, mister. I can see you're... I don't want to have to use force, but I warn you. Don't you swing at me again.
Let me alone.
Now, come on.
I'm going
come
inside
on,
there.
No, you're not
Let
going
me alone.
Anywhere, mister.
Let me alone, I said.
Hey, come on. I can't...
painful, Sawyer. I'm up.
Yes, you're up.
Zelda, hey, what time is it?
It's almost noon.
Noon? It didn't wake me. I have to be at the office.
Bill, don't get out of bed.
What are you talking about?
Dr. Davis said he wants to see you as soon as you're awake.
What for?
Bill, you don't know what for. What happened last night?
Last night?
A policeman brought you home.
What are you saying?
There it was, midnight. I answered the doorbell and you were practically draped over the policeman's shoulder like a sack of wheat.
You're kidding.
Bill, the cop said he didn't want to book you.
Book me?
For assault. You were obviously disturbed. He felt that treating you like a criminal wasn't the answer. He was a very decent cop.
Zelda, what is all this about?
I must say, in addition to everything else, the publicity could have been the last straw. That's all we would have needed.
Zelda.
Bill, shut up. What were you doing in that deserted, godforsaken neighborhood?
Godforsaken? Don't say that.
Why were you wandering around there?
What? I don't know why.
Bill, I'm trying to hold on.
What was I doing there? I was looking for something.
What?
If I tell you, you'll think I'm crazy.
I think you're crazy now.
I was looking for you and for me.
All right. All right, I was a fool to ask.
You really don't want to know.
I want an intelligent, responsive answer.
I guess you would. Intelligent, responsive answer. You used those words the very first night we met.
Oh, Bill, please, please.
We met in Morrissey's. I fell in love with you at first sight.
Western United Industries is making the offer today. How can you talk about...
How can I talk about love?
Our lives depend on it.
Yes, our lives do depend on
Bill,
love.
Oh, Bill, save us. Let them buy us.
You mean sell out?
You can call it whatever you like. It's our only chance to get out of debt, to save something from the wreck.
What wreck?
Now, Norman's had some preliminary discussions with their attorney. It's a fair offer.
I remember I walked into Morrissey's that night, and I saw you sitting there. You remember the tune that was on the jukebox? Listen
to what?
Can't you hear it? That's Dorsey himself on the trombone.
Bill?
He's gone. But how great he was.
Bill, will you please try to concentrate?
Oh, can't you hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
You didn't have to kill it.
Now look, Bill. You try to relax. I'll have Dr. Davis come over here right away.
There's no point to it. You want him to convince me to accept some basic facts of life? Well, I accept them. I'll go down there and sign my death warrant.
Why do you have to call it your death warrant?
Because that's what it is.
It is nothing of the sort. You'll still run the company. Hundreds of small businesses have been taken over by big corporations.
I don't want to talk about
it. They still want you to manage it.
I said I'm willing to do it. Why do we have to talk about it? Now, let me shave and get dressed and get down to the office.
Wear the new dark suit.
Oh, absolutely. Dark has always been the proper shade for executions. Taxi!
Yeah, mister.
I'll go to South Broadway and Torrance.
And we're off. Well, don't look too good, does it? Think there's going to be a war?
Well, there has to be a war.
Huh? What do you mean, has to be?
Yeah, figure it out. Nobody was willing to stop him when it was easy. Who's going to do it now that it's hard? You just keep grabbing and grabbing until nobody will have any choice.
I'll, just who are you talking about?
Who do you think I'm talking about? Who else is there to talk about? Hitler.
Hitler? Oh. Yeah, well,
I guess that sounded crazy to you.
No. No, not really.
Sometimes I go back.
Oh, well, that's perfectly all right. I go back all the time myself.
Do you?
Oh, I don't know if the old days were better or if it's just that we were younger. I tell you one thing, the music was better. Ah, what great bands they had in them days, huh?
Marie, the dawn is breaking. Marie, you'll soon be waking, Duddy.
Driver.
Huh? Yeah?
I changed my mind. Take me to 280 LaSalle. I even remember the number. It's the corner of Tremont.
Oh, yeah. You just made yourself a deal. Hey. You sure you want to go there?
I'm positive.
But that neighborhood, there just ain't nothing. Okay. You're the doctor. Tremont, just off LaSalle.
Lieutenant, keep a change.
Hey, you mean you want to get out here?
That's why I came.
Mister, listen, for blocks around, it's deserted. It's all coming down. I mean, you can even hear the wrecking crews. Now, some of these buildings, they got junkies, all kinds of weird characters. It ain't safe.
You know, you're a character. I'm just going into Morrissey's. Check Morrissey's.
Morrissey's?
Yeah, but all the cab drivers seem to be characters. Is it part of the union rules? Can't you hear the music?
Music?
You were just singing it. Hear it?
Well, I tried. But like they say, to each their own.
Hello, Jack. Well, you look at who's here. Billy Boy himself.
Well, can we say that Morrissey's lives? Let me give you some actual data. Jack Morrissey opened a neighborhood bar in 1933. In 1941, he closed it when he enlisted in the Army. Jack Morrissey was killed in North Africa at the Kasserine Pass in 1942. The place was never reopened, but here we find ourselves as part of the busy, happy crowd at Jack Morrissey's. How do you account for it? Well, you know we account for everything, eventually. And part of the accounting will occur when I return in just a few moments with Act Two.
Hi, this is Carol Burnett. Adolf Hitler came to power in 1933 and made life miserable for people in Germany. And that's why the International Rescue Committee, the IRC, was formed. It began by helping refugees from Hitler's Germany and went on to help millions more in World War II. But its work didn't end there because war and oppression didn't end there. You remember the brave Hungarians who stood up to the Russians in 1956? Well, IRC helped many who escaped. And since then, IRC has come to the aid of thousands who have escaped from Cuba, China, East Germany, Russia, or wherever freedom is pretty much of a meaningless word. It also does its work in countries ravaged by war. But IRC needs money for food, clothing, and medical care, to reunite families, to find people jobs, and homes for children without homes. So please, help the people who help. Send your money to this address, International Rescue Committee, Box 16, Times Square Station, New York City, New York, 10036.
This is a routine gun trace request.
Some 3,000 calls a month like this one come into the National Gun Tracing Center from law enforcement agencies throughout the country requesting information on guns used in crimes.
Hello, this is ATF with the gun trace request.
We check with both national and foreign manufacturers and forward the dealer's name to the requesting agency. In some cases, we can do this in a matter of minutes.
I will hold. I'm sorry to report that the owner said the gun was stolen about 6 months ago, and he forgot to report it.
I'm Rex Davis, Director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Thank you. Gun tracing
is often the only means of solving a crime. If you secure your gun against theft, you make our job and that of your local police that much easier. Place a complete description of your gun with your other important papers. And if your gun is stolen, report it at once to the police or ATF. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
I would give 1,000 tomorrows, a poet said, for just one of my yesterdays. Well, today is yesterday for Bill Harlow. He has just walked through a door, and almost 35 years have suddenly fallen away. The far away and the long ago has just become the here and the now. Here he is in Morrissey's, where the college crowd hung out. And here are the girls, just as he remembers them, with their hair parted in the middle, high in the front, and curled up at the shoulders. Here are the guys in sweaters and pleated pants and loafers. And the music. Oh, that music.
Well, how are you doing, Billy?
I may just enlist.
Oh, now that's a drastic step.
Well, might as well get in there first.
Never be first in anything, Billy. Let some other guy do the spade work. You see what I mean?
Who's around tonight, Jack?
Well, there's your old buddy Norman. Nice dish sitting there with him.
Yeah, very, very nice.
I think she's given you the eye.
No, she belongs to Norman.
No woman belongs to nobody.
What do you want me to do, steal her from my best friend?
He'd steal her from you, wouldn't he?
Hi, folks.
Uh-oh. What are you doing here?
I just fell in love, Norman, with that girl you're sitting with.
Now, what kind of an answer is that?
Well, I think you could call it an intelligent, responsive answer.
Oh, you could, huh?
Absolutely. Intelligent because he shows good taste.
Mm-hmm.
And responsive because it answers the question. What's your name?
Bill Harlow.
Billy, get lost.
My name is Zelda Newsom. Come on, sit down.
Thank you.
Where were you all this time?
Hey, Normie, we mustn't let the music die. Put a nickel on the jukebox.
Wait a minute. I thought this was my day.
Anything by Glenn Miller?
They have everything by Glenn Miller. Normie, do the honors.
Yeah, behave yourself with my date, will you?
Well, you didn't answer my question.
Where was I? Oh, I was out there looking for you.
Well, now you found me.
I would like to give you an engagement ring.
Oh, are we engaged?
Sure. Except I don't have one. I could give you my fraternity pin.
But?
I don't belong to a fraternity.
Oh. Well, I'm not sure I could be interested in a pauper.
Oh, I'm not completely without wealth.
Oh, are you a millionaire in disguise?
You see this?
And what is that supposed to be?
It's not supposed to be anything. It is.
Yes.
Now, the average person would look at this and say it's just a little black pebble.
But it isn't.
This is a small stone. See how highly polished it is?
Uh-huh.
From the tomb of King Tut.
I am impressed.
You should be. It's my most precious possession.
I'll keep it always.
Shall we dance?
Well, if it ain't my old buddy, Officer Tom Bergen. How come you ain't made chief, huh?
Hey, what are you doing in this godforsaken neighborhood?
I'm trying to get out of it.
How'd you get into it?
I had a pair.
You mean somebody wanted to come down here?
Would you believe it? I had a guy wanted to go to LaSalle Corner Tremont.
Next week that joint ain't gonna exist. The Wreckers Ball is gonna ladle.
No, wait a minute. This was a genuine 18-carat nut. Take me to Morrissey's, he says.
Wait a sec. A tall guy, kind of distinguished looking, a little bit gray.
That's right. The guy looked legit. He points to this building that's falling apart. That's Morrissey's, he says, just like it was a live swinging joint, and then he walks.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for telling me.
I'll have a couple of beers, Jack, for me and my girl.
Your girl, huh? She come in here with Norman, and I see Norman's gone home.
Well, I would have done the same for him.
What is this gift you got with the girls, Billy?
Well, what can I tell you? You have to be born with it. Or you do without.
Ah, Billy, she's just another dame.
You're telling me.
I think that Norman was gone on her.
She made the choice.
I hope he forgives you.
Normie and I, we're like brothers. Blood brothers.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he wasn't sore when he left.
Oh, I seen that big smile of his. But you never know how a guy's taking it inside.
Oh, come on, Jack.
A guy himself may not even know how he's taking it. Like, it may be boiling away deep down where he don't know it. And then maybe 10, 20, even 30 years from now, he could suddenly make you pay the price.
I could stand here and be enriched by your wisdom forever, Jack, but the most beautiful girl in the world is sitting there at the table waiting for me.
will fight again as you before.
Well, what was that earnest conversation you were having with mine host, Jack Morrissey?
Oh, just man-to-man conversation.
Tell me about it.
Do you mean I have to tell you absolutely everything?
Absolutely.
Well, Zelda. Zelda, what is it?
What's happening to us?
Hey, Mr. Honnell.
Zelda? Zelda? She's gone.
Hey, Mr. Harlow.
Morrissey's gone. It's all gone. Where did he go?
Look, Mr. Harlow, you can't stay here.
It was all here. Jack Morrissey's. Don't you understand?
You don't want to get yourself into trouble, Mr. Harlow.
It was here. July 30th, 1939. The night I met Zelda. She was Norman's date.
Yeah, sure, 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 but...
Don't you patronize me.
No, I won't. I'll tell you straight out. You imagined it.
I didn't. It was real.
Okay, so it was real to you. So's a dream. But you wake up and the dream is gone, right? And now this is gone, too.
Yes, it's gone.
Well, we better be getting out of here. This place is dangerous.
Morrissey's dangerous?
Yeah, the buildings are being knocked down on all sides, and the vibrations could... come on.
Yes, officer, I'll come along quietly. The policeman is your best friend. That's what my mother used to tell me. Do mothers tell that to their kids today?
I wouldn't know, sir.
I wouldn't know either. We never had kids, Zelda and I. Maybe if we'd had them, it might have been different.
Yeah, well, come on, I think we better go now.
Yeah. Wait.
Well, what's the matter?
Look.
Where?
On the floor. That little stone. The little black stone.
So, okay, what about it?
Here. Hey, look at it. It's the stone I just gave to Zelda. This is it. This is the exact same stone.
Now, look, Mr. Harlow.
On July 30th, 1939, in this place, I gave a girl named Zelda Newsom a little black stone. And here it is. How do you account for it?
I don't know. I can't account for anything. All I know is that this joint's been deserted for years, and the law says no trespassing. So do we go?
All right. Let's go.
Bill.
Hello, Zelda. Norman.
Bill.
Is that all you can say? Hello? What are you doing here at home?
Well, it's obvious. I've been listening to one of my favorite records.
Turn that thing off.
It used to be your favorite record, too.
Now, please, Bill, do you mind? We have some serious matters to discuss.
Oh, we certainly do. We certainly do, Zelda. That night we met, I gave you a stone, remember?
Norman and I waited for you at the office. The man from United Western Industries was there.
You don't remember that little black stone, Zelda?
Bill, excuse me. I have to say this. You did not create a favorable impression.
You said you'd always keep the stone.
Fortunately, I think we saved the situation.
Don't be so modest, Norman. You saved the situation.
Why didn't you keep the stone, Zelda?
I don't know what stone you're talking about.
Listen to us. And less than an hour ago, we spoke to each other with such love. We were so thrilled. We were so excited by each other's presence.
Less than an hour ago. You are crazy.
We did. We met for the first time. You don't want to remember.
Bill, will you please concentrate? I am trying to tell you, Norman worked out the deal.
Did you, Norman?
Yes. You see, Zelda and I
decided... Zelda and you.
Yes, huh? We have worked very closely on it for a long time, Norman and I.
Norman and you.
Yes,
huh?
Norman and I.
Yeah.
It had to be Norman and me. Who else would have kept the business alive?
You've been very close with Norman, haven't you, huh?
Just what does that mean?
Well, maybe you think you made the wrong choice back there in Morrissey.
Maybe she did. I'd better go now.
No, stay.
Would you have been happier with Norman? Sober, steady, reliable Norman?
Disregard all of this, Norman. We have to discuss what happened today while you weren't there, Bill.
Now, Bill, look. You'll still be president of the company.
That's nice.
But...
Ah, the but.
I become chief executive officer in charge of operations.
I see. Well, you know what it proves. Jack Morrissey was right.
Now, what are you saying?
Poor Norman. You kept it bottled up all these years, but you never forgave me, and today you buried the knife.
Bill, I didn't want the job.
Oh, I bet you kicked and screamed.
Won't you try to understand?
It's the only deal United Western will accept.
But I don't accept it.
Do you want to know the truth, Bill? The awful, terrible truth? They don't have to give us any kind of deal at all. They can wait a year until you go bankrupt and then just move in and pick up the pieces.
You really don't remember the stone, Zelda?
Can't we have a sensible conversation?
You're getting off lucky, Bill.
Am I? Why?
The truth is, you don't know how to run a company in today's market.
That's true. I believe in quality.
Yes, you justify yourself with that word, quality. But quality is a thing of the past. It costs money. People refuse to pay for it.
As long as I run this company...
When did you ever run this company? I carried you.
Shut up!
Look, I'm sorry. I'm going back to the office, and you should go back, too. We have to meet with the United Western people.
Well, you sure spoke your piece, didn't you? Huh?
Oh, Bill... You were a big, friendly boy with the gift of gab. But after a while, it all wore a bit thin. Goodbye.
You better go back to the office.
Yes, let's go back. But not to the office. Let's go back to Jack Morrissey's.
Jack Morrissey is dead and gone. And you and I can't do the Lindy anymore.
We were happy. We were so happy.
Because we were children. You never wanted to grow up, accept responsibility.
Wouldn't you like to go back to when we were really in love?
You're still a kid, and you still ask a child's questions.
But I've gone back. Once again, I felt that thrill. The thrill I knew the night we met.
You even sound like a song of 30 years ago.
I saw how you looked. You didn't have a line on your face, a doubt in your heart, a worry in your head.
Please, Bill, go to the office. Salvage something.
I have to go back. I can't live here anymore.
What do you mean by here?
The present.
The present is all we have. The future never comes and the past is dead.
This time, I won't let anybody break into it. I'll know how to hold on to it. Come back with me, Zelda. Come back.
It was Albert Einstein who said, "The past, the present, and the future are all mixed up. You can go forward in time, and you can go backward in time." Exactly how is not crystal clear, but the theoretical possibilities are accepted by science. Backed by such assurances, we can certainly give Bill Harlow a little bit of credence, can't we? I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of efficiency that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind. How it's gonna be.
A lot of happy facts have been written down for you. Learn the happy facts and be a happier you.
We're the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. General Services Administration, and we have a lot of happy facts, useful facts, over 250 government publications, just filled with facts about nutrition, about simple home repairs, about what records you should keep. You can learn how to remove stains or how to take care of your car. All kinds of facts. For a free catalog, write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Learn the little-known facts of life that can help make your life a little happier.
Facts you can keep, facts you can use. Learn happy facts and be happier you.
Send for your free catalog. Write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Mm-hmm.
promise of youth. Who has seen it fulfilled? Not most of us, that's for sure. And so maturity becomes a matter of more or less graceful reconciliation between the dreams of the boy and the realities of the man. We say more or less gracefully to describe the reconciliation, because while there are people who accept failure with very little grace, at least they do accept it. Then we have Bill Harlow, who refuses to accept it at all.
Come back there with me, Zelda. Zelda, you and I, we're still there. We're still sitting in Jack Morrissey's. We never left.
Bill, how can we be sitting in Jack Morrissey's if we're sitting here?
I don't know, but I was there an hour ago. I think of how beautiful you looked. It breaks my heart.
Bill, it won't work. We're what we are now, what the last 35 years have made us.
No.
You simply cannot accept life.
That's not life. That's death.
Death is also a part of life.
Please come back.
To Jack Morrissey's.
Yes.
Where you can still get a big glass of beer for a dime, and you can dance all night, and there's no gray in your hair, and only love in your heart, and all the world is friendship and music. Was that the only time in your life that you were really happy?
Is it a crime to want to hold on to happiness?
No. It isn't a crime. It's a delusion, but it isn't a crime.
We can go back.
I don't want to hear any more about it.
But I can prove it. I've got the proof.
You go back to your office and you grow up.
Zelda, I said I could prove
it. You go to the office, or I'll walk out on you right now.
Zelda.
I mean it.
Oh. Come on in, Norman. What's on your mind?
Bill, I... well, excuse me, the reorganization in... Well, it was decided that this would become my office.
Oh, then I better get out of here right away, huh?
Oh, there's really no hurry. I mean, no, take a few days.
Sure.
Bill, look, I'm sorry we had those words back at your apartment.
We never really were friends, were we, Norman?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And now you're getting back at me for everything.
Now, Bill, I know we can work together and justify the faith that the new management has in us.
Oh, that's a terrific speech, Norman. Terrific. Precise, pungent, and pithy. Well, which one of us answers it? This is now your office, but it's probably for me.
Oh, come on.
Yes?
Mr. Harlow?
Yeah?
You're expected to meet with the United Western people in the conference room in 20 minutes along with Mr. Hollis. And, oh, your wife is here.
Thank you, Miss Bain. Send the dear girl in. So, you and I are going to meet with the new management, and they'll ask questions. And they'll see how bright you are and how stupid I am.
Bill, that is ridiculous.
Is that how you set it up?
Set what up?
Mm, it's nothing.
That's right, nothing. It's just old Bill being paranoid again.
I've got to get some figures together. I'll see you in the conference room.
Bill, I know it's hard. It's hard for you to work with Norman as... well, on an adult level, to accept him as an equal. Brilliant Bill plodding Norman. But you need each other.
You mean you really don't remember the stone, Zelda?
The stone. King Tut's royal stone.
Then why did you pretend?
Maybe I wanted to forget.
Why?
Because so much has happened to us.
Zelda.
But don't try to rake it up, Bill.
Let's have it out.
All right. All right. Let's talk. About Marie.
I was never in love with Marie.
That didn't make it any easier for me.
I thought we agreed to forget about Marie.
I never said I would forget Marie. I only agreed not to let her break up our marriage.
Zelda, she was the only one in all these years.
Oh, the only one? Well, I think that calls for some sort of medal.
How long did it last? A couple of months?
And what's a couple of months in a lifetime, hmm?
You promised you'd never forget that stone.
Oh, yes, the stone. That was the day I learned I had an associate.
Zelda.
Another partner in my marriage. You know what I did with that funny little black stone? Which you said came from King Tut's tomb.
Well, it really didn't.
Oh, I always knew that. I went for a walk on the Starrett Street Bridge. And I stopped at the rail over at the middle of the river. And had a wild idea to throw myself off the bridge. But I threw the stone instead. And by now, it sunk deep into the riverbed, under 100 feet of water. So you see, it's gone.
Zelda, if we could get that stone back.
Oh, sure.
That stone. The stone I gave you the night we met. The night it began for us.
That stone is gone. It's gone forever. It's gone beyond recall.
No.
Bill, you have to grow up. You have to accept it. Because the stone is like the past. Dead. Buried. You cannot bring it back.
I have brought it back.
Oh, Bill, please.
Look. Look here. Look at what I have in my hand. Take it.
What is it?
You know what it is.
That can't be the stone.
You remember. You took it to a jeweler. You had our initials engraved on it. B-Z.
You found another stone just like it.
Hold it. Look at it. Feel it. It's the stone. Our stone.
I threw it off the Starrett Street Bridge. Nobody could ever find it.
But I went back and found it before you threw it away. I went back to the night of July 30th, 1939.
You couldn't.
We were 19 years old.
I don't believe it.
We're still 19 years old. Come with me. I'll prove it. We're in Jack Morrissey's at the corner of LaSalle and Tremont, and we're 19.
It's impossible.
Listen, don't you hear the jukebox? It's playing the slow tune. Let's go back. Let's be 19 again.
But
it's another chance. It's another chance to live another life. And this time I'll know better. This time I won't waste it. This time I'll grow up. Don't you want to be 19 again?
I'm afraid.
There's nothing to be afraid of. What were we afraid of when we were 19? We didn't know what the word meant.
It's gone. The neighborhood, it's all gone.
Hurry, we're not supposed to go into the building.
Why?
Because, it doesn't matter. Here, this is it.
This was Jack Morrissey.
It still is, inside. Now, let's duck in quickly, before we're seen.
I'm afraid to go in there.
Why? Hurry, before somebody comes along.
It's a crazy-looking building. It looks as if it'll fall apart any minute.
Come on in.
But can't you see there's nobody inside?
There isn't? Listen. Do you hear it? What are we waiting for? It's July 30th, 1939, and we're about to meet for the first time. You see that table near the wall? That's where you were sitting with Norman. Go there. I'll join you in a minute.
Word. It's Billy the bridegroom. And how's married life?
I recommend it highly. Try it, Jack.
Oh, I've done without it for 40 years. You look handsome in that uniform, Billy.
Why don't you enlist, Jack?
If we get into the war, I will. No. This round's on me, soldier boy.
Well, it's about time. See, darling? It's just as it was the night we met.
Something's wrong.
What are you talking about?
If this is the night we met, where's Norman?
Norman?
It was Norman who brought me here. I was his date, remember?
Well...
And you're in uniform. This can't be July 30th, 1939. You didn't enlist till August of 1940.
Well, what's the difference?
Look at the calendar over the bar. What does it say? Tell me.
December 6th, 1941.
Tomorrow is Pearl Harbor.
Well, what's the difference if we pick up our lives on December the 6th, 1941, or July 30th, 1939?
We were here that night. I remember.
So do I.
I remember everybody who was in this place.
Well, what's to remember? You can see them.
There's Jack Morrissey behind the bar. Norman isn't here. He wasn't then either.
Zelda?
No, listen. There's Tommy Burke and Fred Novak and Bert Ullman and Jacqueline Myers and Kitty and Edith.
Of course.
And all of them are dead today.
They can't be dead today. Here they are.
I don't mean December 6th, 1941. I mean now. The boys, every one of them was killed in the war. The girls. Jackie died in childbirth. Kitty was killed in an accident. Edith had an operation and she never recovered.
What does this have to do with...
Don't you see? It won't be different. It'll be all the same. We'll do it the same way again.
No, Zelda, no. We'll make it different.
How?
This time we'll know better.
Why? How will we know better? We'll have forgotten. I'm starting to forget already.
Zelda, don't be afraid.
I can't help it. Look at this place. It's the place of the dead.
Don't say
that. The dead. Everything is dead here. All these people are dead now. The music is dead. The building is dead. And if we stay here, we'll be dead too.
No. This is where we can start a new life.
Let's get out of here.
How can you say dead? Can't you see everybody? Can't you hear the music?
No. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. I'm in an old, battered, broken-down building. The ceiling is going to cave in any minute. The walls are ready to collapse.
Why do I hear it? Why do I see it? Why is it so real to me?
Because you need it.
All right. You need it, too.
No. No, I'm not afraid to live, to grow.
Where are you going?
Home. Please, come with me.
Home? I'm home now.
They're tearing down the building. Do you want to stay and die?
I'm gonna stay and live.
Goodbye, Bill.
Zelda. Zelda.
Hey, you! Bring in that ball! Hold it! Let somebody in the doorway of that building!
Wait! Wait, my husband's inside! He's in there!
Hey, clear, lady!
No! Somebody go in and get him!
No, nobody can go in there now, lady! Look!
Oh, my God, Bill!
They never found his body. But then again, they never found the bodies of anyone else inside the place either. All the people who were in Jack Morrissey's the night of December 6th, 1941. Maybe Morrissey's is a state of mind. After all, doesn't everyone have a private Jack Morrissey's of his very own? I'll retreat to mine for just a few moments and then return to reality.
Come on over for a drink.
What is a drink? Where is it written that a drink is not a drink unless it contains a slug of alcohol? Isn't lemonade a drink?
Aren't you drinking?
Isn't coffee fruit juice? Tea, water, soft drinks, are those non-drinks?
Let's get together for a drink.
Is it so uncool to drink something that can't change your perception of reality?
Let me buy you a drink.
The strange idea that only drinks containing alcohol are real drinks is so built into our society, it has actually become part of our language.
I'll drink to that.
And maybe that's part of our national drinking problem. What is a drink? Think about it. This message is brought to you as a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Would you like a drink?
I wonder what he meant by that.
We say, where has the time gone? The truth is, the time hasn't gone anywhere. Time is merely a track. It stands still, and it is we, the runners, who move. And because it may have been easier originally, or for reasons that we will never fully understand, we started to move in one direction. Who says the only way is forward? Indeed, in this volatile world, who can say anything with certainty? Our cast included Howard Da Silva, Terry Keane, Ian Martin, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Say that again.
He's been married for 20 years to Maria Elevna, who...
Oh.
Marvin.
Oh.
Shall I call a doctor?
A doctor?
That's how you looked that morning, pale and frightened. Who is Maria Elevna? Why should the mention of her name...
How should I know?
No, it's not my imagination. It's these two names, Dmitri Legorin and Maria Elevna, seem... These two names, they seem to have devastated you. Why?
I think I'd like to go for a walk.
No, Marvin, we've got to talk.
About what?
Who is Dmitri Legorin?
I don't know.
Who is Maria Elevna?
I don't know. And now, if you have no more questions...
I have one more question. Who are you?
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford is back in the White House after a day in Florida, but still has offered no comment on his shakeup of three security agency heads. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president kept his distance from reporters all day, and Press Secretary Ron Nessen declined comment, first on the rumors, then on the solid reports that quick changes had been made within the administration. Fired was Defense Secretary James Schlesinger, presumably to be replaced by White House Chief of Staff Donald Rumsfeld, and CIA Director James Colby was fired, presumably to be replaced by George Bush, presently heading the U.S. Liaison Office in Peking. Henry Kissinger, while staying on as Secretary of State, was stripped of his other hat as head of the National Security Council. That post reportedly will be filled by Kissinger's protege and deputy, Air Force Lieutenant General Brent Scowcroft. CBS News correspondent Daniel Shore has more on the story.
As recounted to CBS News by sources close to the principals, it was a startling scenario of three thunderbolts launched by telephone by President Ford without preparation, with little attempt at explanation. First, Kissinger, early last week, not given a choice of which job he would give up, simply told by the president he was being replaced as security advisor. Then Schlesinger this morning, then Colby late this afternoon. The CIA director had known he was not long for the job, but had been given to understand replacement would come after current congressional national investigations as part of a broad reorganization. As to the timing, Colby told CBS News, I'll have to refer you to the White House. That's where the answer is. All three appeared stunned by the abruptness of President Ford's action. One source close to the action on the receiving end speculated the motivation was political. Somehow, said this source, it has to be connected with the impending Reagan candidacy, a display of decisiveness, an array of new faces, an implied setback for detente. Daniel Shaw, CBS News, Washington.
More news in a moment.
Get that hose out of here.
It was fire and smoke everywhere.
Okay, everybody.
It was terrible. I had to crawl on my stomach to breathe. Luckily, I found the window with the fire escape. And I crawled down the ladder to safety. Oh, I've never been so scared in all my life. And that's the last story for tonight.
Aww.
Now it's time for you two to go to sleep.
One more, Daddy, please. We promise we'll go straight to bed.
No, not tonight. But tomorrow night, I'll tell you about the time when I was your age and rode an elephant in the circus parade. Okay?
Did that really happen, Daddy?
It's true. Cross my heart.
It takes so little of you to give so much to them. Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
President Ford and Secretary of State Kissinger met three times in Jacksonville with Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, twice for substantive conversations, once for a ceremonial reception. The discussions focused on new Middle East peace moves, U.S. plans to sell two nuclear power reactors to Egypt for economic development, and the worsening civil strife in Lebanon. No statements were issued, leading to the expectation of an announcement in Washington this week. On Wednesday, Sadat is to address a joint session of Congress. The House Banking Committee today begins work on a measure offering up to $7 billion in loan guarantees to default-threatened New York City. Committee Chairman Henry Royce acknowledges the measure faces opposition, spurred by President Ford's threat of a veto, but says he has the votes to win committee approval. Vice President Rockefeller, who urged federal assistance for New York City prior to Mr. Ford's repeated and insistent refusal to allow it, was asked if he would try to convince the president to change his mind about loan guarantee legislation if it's approved by Congress.
Unless the city by that time has brought its budget into balance, which will take 3 years, but taken the actions, then he would be doing exactly what I agree with him we shouldn't do, which is to bail out any local government which spends beyond its means.
Vice President Rockefeller. CBS News continues following this message.
For hundreds of years, alcoholic people have been beaten, dunked, pilloried, jailed, and threatened with eternal damnation, all without a single cure. Because alcoholism is not a crime, it is not a sin, it is an illness. An illness that can be treated successfully. For information or for help, write Alcohol, Box 2345, Rockville, Maryland.
This message is a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Did you know that the metric system is already being used in many aspects of American life? For example, prescription drugs are dispensed in milliliter and milligram quantities. Many packaged food contents are already listed in customary as well as metric units. And for more information on the metric system, write Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C., 20234.
President Ford still is having his troubles with the sort of minor mishaps which might go unnoticed were they encountered by anyone else. He had another one of those slippery step stumbles Sunday while walking with Egyptian President Sadat, but didn't fall this time. And Mr. Ford had a minor accident when he went for a swim in the pool at the Jacksonville, Florida residence where he spent Sunday. The president banged his head against the side of the pool, apparently losing some skin above the eyebrow, but otherwise not suffering any serious injury. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
If Spanish troops fire on its unarmed marchers. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS radio network. Spanish delegate Antonio Elias told members of the UN Security Council Thursday night Spain has received a note from Morocco which maintains it's too late to call off the march. 40,000 marchers bivouacked for the night, less than a mile short of Spanish defense lines, and it's now dawn on the desert. BBC reporter Christopher Morris describes the scene from the Spanish side of the defense line.
The barrier that's effectively halted the marchers, at least for the moment, is a minefield stretching some 10 miles on either side of the desert road to El Ayun. On the other side of the minefield, and only about 500 yards from the marchers themselves, Spanish legionnaires have dug in. As more and more marchers arrive, so the tension increases. But so far, no serious incidents have been reported. There's a second large minefield behind the frontline positions, and this marks the frontier, the political frontier, which Spanish armed forces are pledged to defend. Tanks, armored vehicles, and heavy artillery guns are in position along this frontier. And the intention, quite clearly, is not to allow a single marcher to step 1 yard across into the disputed territory.
BBC reporter Christopher Morris on the Spanish side of the defense line in the Spanish Sahara. The Security Council has dispatched another urgent plea to King Hassan, asking him to withdraw the marchers. So far, Morocco's reply, if there's been any, isn't known. More news coming up.
A lot of happy facts have been written down for you. Learn the happy facts and be a happier you.
We're the Consumer Information Center of the U.S. General Services Administration, and we have a lot of happy facts, useful facts, over 250 government publications just filled with facts about nutrition, about simple home repairs, about what records you should keep. You can learn how to remove stains or how to take care of your car. All kinds of facts. For a free catalog, write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Learn the little-known facts of life that can help make your life a little happier.
Facts you can keep, facts you can use.
Send for your free catalog. Write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
A House Judiciary Subcommittee approved a bill Thursday to let New York City enter into bankruptcy after December 1st. Prime purpose of the bill, to permit the city to put priority for spending what money it has on maintaining essential services. But at least two-thirds of the city's creditors would have to okay the bankruptcy plan. A member of the emergency panel overseeing New York's finances told CBS News that provision won't work. William Ellinghouse, head of the New York Telephone Company, says there are creditors by the thousands, and nobody knows who and where they all are. Ellinghouse had this advice for Congress.
My problem with the whole thing is that I think they're fiddling with the wrong bill. You know, I think what we need is a bill that would just provide some sort of, what we've been asking for, some sort of federal backing, which means that they won't put up any money, and I think we can avoid bankruptcy if they'll do that.
Ellinghouse is one of three businessmen on the emergency board. There's apparently been another coup in Bangladesh, the second in 3 days. Major General Ziaur Rahman, who was fired as commander-in-chief of the army on Monday, announced over Dhaka radio Friday that he's seized power. The staff director of the House Intelligence Committee charges there have been efforts within the Ford administration to distort official intelligence estimates of Soviet military strength. Staff Director A. Searle Field told committee members at a public hearing Thursday that the estimates could have been distorted in order to influence official policy on detente. Vice President Nelson Rockefeller has declined to rule himself out as a possible Republican presidential candidate next year. Now this.